I do want to show you something on a board. We're going to hand this out in a few nights while we're waiting for the forgiveness sheet. And this is so important. We spoke to you about the SPEMF area. I just want to give you a quick lesson. Oh, you have them. Okay, I think this side needs it. While we're just giving this out, I wish I had a month here with you, believe me. It would be a blessing. In the SPEMF area, we call it internal causes to pain. And we develop a word. By the way, I had to do all these things so I could memorize it. Because if I didn't do this, I wouldn't know what I was talking about. So the SPEMF area is very important. We have what they call FRAHID. I'm going to give this sheet out to you tomorrow. But generally, when my SPEMF area, spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, financial, gets FRAHID, it sounds Yiddish, I get angry. I just want to give you this one thing. It's a lesson you can take home with you tonight before we get started on the feelings. This FRAHID stands for fear, frustration, hurt, injustice, and disappointment. Everybody got that? This is important.
Just say it again.
Fear, frustration, hurt, injustice, and disappointment. So here's a quick lesson for you. Every time you feel something rising up in you, like you want to tell somebody off, be critical, judgmental, whether it's in your heart or not, just ask the Lord, what SPEMF area in my life is getting FRAHID right now? It works, gang. God will quicken you real quick. I'll say it again. We all got this down, right? SPEMF? What is this?
Say it again. Some don't.
What is this?
Spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, financial.
Good. Those are five major areas of our life. This is called internal emotional pain. Internal emotional pain. The reason why Christians don't know this, then don't recognize their internal causes to emotional pain. They only recognize external causes to pain. You beat me up, you cut me off, there's noise, it's learned behavior, it's competition, it's an external learning. What Christians don't realize is the internal learning. So when this word stands for what?
Fear. Frustration.
Frustration.
Hurt.
Hurt.
Injustice. Disappointment.
Disappointment. So very quickly, this is a lesson before you're going to get a lesson, and I do this with my counselees all the time because I need to give them a reality tool to check themselves. You go to the Lord when something rises up in you and say, Lord, what SPEMF area is getting FRAHID right now? Where am I getting fearful? Spiritually, physically, emotionally, mentally, financially? Where am I getting frustrated in these areas? Where am I hurt in these areas? And where is there an injustice that I feel in these areas? And where is there a disappointment in these areas? Then you're going to get angry. This comes first. This comes second. You never get angry first. You always get FRAHID first. So if you get in touch with your FRAHID, then you can get angry, then take it to God and say, God, and this is just a quick lesson. I'm going to expand on this Thursday and Friday. God, I release my fear of my son and daughter not receiving the Lord. I release my fear of my physical health or my intimacy. I release my fear of being emotionally abandoned or rejected. I release my fear of my mental torment when I go to sleep. I release my fear of my financial worry and concern, or my frustration, or my hurt, or my disappointment, or my injustice. And then go to God, and as you release it to Him, use a scripture to neutralize this internal cause of emotional pain. If you use a scripture, it'll negate your emotions, your negative emotions, and turn your negative emotions into a positive mental attitude. That's just a quick lesson on dealing with internal emotional pain. Now we're going to deal with feelings. You all have a feeling sheet.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has. All right, let's just look at the top. Look at that word issues. Now I want you to think about this. Of course, there's a room of however many we are in number. Every one of us has at least one issue right now. All right, we could have 57 issues, but we'll just deal with one. I want you to think about or write down, if you would, what is that issue for you? What is your issue?
Now, that could
what's
be
a
family,
problem
church,
for you?
Finances.
Could be family, church, finances, any of these areas, mothers, children. What is that issue for you? All right, everybody has an issue. Now, let's look at the feelings that we have. These feelings on the top of your sheet and also on the back of this yellow sheet mainly consist of what we would call negative emotions. And so while we do well with positive emotions, we love to feel them, we're happy, we're excited, we're glad, you know, what we do not deal well with is the negative emotions. And yet they are as real as positive emotions. We can't negate negative emotions. We need to feel them, we need to deal with them, and we need to heal from them. Can't pretend that they're not there. And that is what most of us do.
The top words that are in dark letters are emotions. Everybody has them. Everybody here is afraid. Everybody's angry. Everybody feels inadequate at times, sad, ashamed, guilt, depression. Those are emotions. Under the emotions are feelings, and they're as unique as you are as an individual. So while everybody's afraid, my wife may feel frightened, I may feel alarmed, apprehensive, I may feel anxious. Another person may feel panic in their fear, and you may feel dread. So you can, everybody has the emotion on top, but you can have several feelings operating under each emotion. So you can circle under afraid five or six things that you've experienced, or what are you going to say?
And it may be different because of different issues that you have. You know, you can feel fear in one issue that you're having, and you may feel very angry with another issue, or very depressed over another issue. So these, again, this is to help you start to get in touch with, what am I feeling concerning this one issue? All right? So now just take a minute concerning whatever issue you wrote down. Just check off any feelings that you feel concerning that one issue. You may be feeling a whole bunch of feelings. All right, so
I just want to share with you, here's common for counseling. When somebody comes in with issues, issues are surface issues. We call them leaves on a tree. When they come in, we usually ask them, well, how do you feel? And they'll give me three words. Then I give them this list of feelings, and I circle every emotion that's associated with this. Guess how many emotions they come up with? 20
Lots.
To 30 feelings on issues.
Lots.
Which means three they're in touch with, and 20 or 30 they haven't even identified yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when we don't identify our feelings and have that healthy way of dealing with them, guess what? We act them out. Feelings will always come out. Always. No matter how much we think we're bottling them up, we're doing that good Christian thing, you know, not acting them out. We act them out in body language. I said to a few of the people today, in communication, verbal communication is 3% of your communication. 3%. So 97% of communication comes out in body language, tone of voice, eye contact, you know, how am I coming across, the attitude that people read. That's why we can say things to people like, oh, I really love you, and the body language gives an entirely different message. And that person is reading the body language, and they're really correct with what they're reading. So we need to understand feelings will come out. They will always have a way of expressing themselves, whether it's a healthy expression or an unhealthy expression.
Unless you came from a dysfunctional family where you were taught that your feelings are not correct. What you're seeing doesn't go with your feelings. So you learn to dismiss your feelings on what's going on. If you're learning how to dismiss your feelings, you need to get back in touch. And that's a survival technique from your childhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so looking at the feelings that we have, when you can't express those feelings that you just checked off, look at the next category. What defenses do you use? Not somebody else, but what defenses do you use that hide your feelings? If you are fearful or exasperated or resentful and you can't share that with that person or whoever, what defenses do you use? Check them off.
We're on the column that says defenses which hide feelings.
Okay, now look at the next category. How do you think significant people in your life see you when you use those defenses?
What do they say about you? All right. How many do I have that intellectualize their feelings away? They explain them away, they justify them, they minimize them, they analyze them, they intellectualize them, and they rationalize them. Where's all my head people?
All the thinkers.
All the thinkers. Who's my head people? Three head people. Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
They're getting honest.
11.
The hands are going up.
In other words, who takes your emotions and literally, instead of explaining how you feel to a person, go into the intellect.
Mm. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
Now let's all raise our hands at the same time. Who are the intellects that intellectualize their emotions away? Raise your hand.
We have
about 50% of the group.
Yeah.
Intellectuals. Mm-hmm. Who does the silence and withdrawal? Who's the silence and withdrawal?
Depends on
I'll
the circumstance.
I'll just go in another room, leave me alone. Silence and withdrawal.
They're good. They're raising their hands over there.
Who does the judging, threatening, disagreeing? Who does that? I got Joe Calabrese, my buddy. See, he got honest with himself. And Who does the judging, threatening, criticizing, blaming? Raise your hand. There we go. See, you're going to have different defenses to protect rather than sharing. Now, why do we defend ourselves from sharing healthily our feelings? Why do we defend ourselves? Why do we protect ourselves? Why? What are we afraid of? We're afraid of, who said that?
Rejection.
John Carver got the bullseye. Rejection. What else? Confrontation.
Oh, how many people are fearful of confrontation? That's a biggie. That's a biggie, yeah.
How many are afraid of being rejected and abandoned by the people?
Yes.
There we go. That's the other group. Or not looking right in other people's eyes because you have a pride image. You got to present yourself a certain way so you don't want to share how you feel. How many of the prideful people? One. This whole room could raise their hand. Hey, we know our stuff.
One
you should
honest
raise
girl.
Two hands and 2 feet. Remember, image is a prideful thing.
Oh yeah.
So if you're protecting your image, that's just pride. So, and you know, we don't want to say we're prideful people.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Let me give you the key. If you get honest with yourself, you'll laugh at yourself. And when you laugh at yourself, you'll bring healing to yourself.
Mm.
You got to be able to say, wow, look at this spiritual giant I am. Thank God you came, Jesus, because I was a mess and I needed you.
How true.
That's really the truth of the whole matter.
Mm-hmm.
Rigorous honesty is rigorous intimacy.
It produces that. We have to be honest
with God,
with ourselves,
with myself, and with another human being. So to the degree I'm honest with God, I get honest with my wife, I get honest with my brothers and sisters, we really have a relationship.
Mm.
Because you really know who I am, and this is where I am.
And what happens in the church, per se, we know to go to God and get honest with God, but our fear kicks in going to one another. And yet Scripture says what? Confess your sin one to another.
That you might
so
be healed.
So you might be healed. That healing is a sozo healing. That means a wholeness. It means a literal healing. So we know enough to go to God, but what prevents us from going to one another? All this stuff that we've been talking about. All this stuff. Fear of rejection, whatever it might be. Look at how people see us when we use the defenses. You know, we have to be able to look at ourselves and say, gee, how do people see me? You know, how do other people see me? In a safe relationship, you should be able to ask that other person, whether it is your spouse, a close brother, a sister, whoever, friend, you know, how do you see me? And really allow them to speak into your life in kindness, speak truth in love, so that we can receive what that person is saying, not go back, you know, and contradict them or confront them. What did you say that for? But be able to really receive what we've all probably heard, that kernel of truth. You know, when God brings truth to us, again, it's for healing.
Yeah.
But when we won't receive truth, we don't get healed. And many times we don't like the truth when God brings truth to us. Everything in us wants to react to that.
I have something that'll bring honesty to you real quick. See, I'm a bottom line quick person. Here's the bottom line. Take three of the closest people that you know, love you, and you trust. Three of the closest people. And ask them, I want you to tell me all my character faults, defects that I have, and I'd like you to tell me all my positive assets that I have. I will not answer you. I will not defend my position. I will not correct you, but I'll take this list before God and start dealing honestly with myself. How many people would be willing to do that? I got a half a hand, and I got about, out of 40 people, I got about 15 that said I'd be willing to do that. But that is the quickest way to get real honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when people say, Joel, how you doing? I say, don't ask me, ask my wife. I'll lie to you, because I don't even know what I'm doing. But ask my wife how I'm doing.
Oh, I'll tell them how he's doing. Yes,
because
I will.
She suffers the effect, positive or negative, of how I'm really doing. I don't suffer the effect. I do suffer the effect. But I don't know that I suffer the effect. So I just gave you a real key to get you on this road to honesty. Mm-hmm. Get three people. And if you really get honest by Friday night, come in with that list. You don't have to share the list. But really take it to God and say, God, is this really true about me? Mm. Because if your closest friends are telling you that, then it's something you're going to need to go before God and say, Lord, I need healing. I want to share some with you. Most healed people, the more that you're healed, the less that you'll criticize, judge, and blame anybody else. But the less that you're healed, the more you'll be critical and judgmental and hard on other people. So when people are caught in a sin or people make a mistake, instead of this hardness coming out, you just weep for that person. Because you know the grace that God is giving you in your own honesty of how much he's forgiven you and the grace upon you.
Amen.
You can't help but weep for other people for the grace that they would have on them. Amen. God's grace. Oh, brothers, oh, I'm telling you, this is life. I'm giving you life.
Good stuff.
Going down.
All right, we're going to have, I don't want to keep you tonight. We're going to go for questions, anything. Here's what we're going to cover the next two nights. We're going to cover the 18 losses that people suffer in life, the emotions attached to the losses. We're going to cover emotional connection. We're going to cover how to really forgive. And what we do is teach people to go through the process of forgiving, that you could literally resolve your things, and how to go to the person and how to speak in terms that the other person would not be offended. I mean, this is really practical stuff. This is not just go to the Lord. This is, here's what you do. You know why? It works.
Amen.
It worked in our church. It works in our leaders. Joseph is a prime. Joe, you want to just share what happened to you with your emotions when your fiance told you something, what you did?
Yeah, come to the front.
Or anywhere, anytime. Or the last time.
He's coming up.
Just give him a quick. By the way, I've been discipling this precious son for a while, gifted man of God, but if he doesn't grow up and mature in wholeness, he'll be a disaster to the body of Christ. Because giftings mean nothing without character and maturity. So you can be the gifted, most profound speaker in the world, but if the fruit of the Holy Spirit isn't coming out of you in times of hard times, you just negated everything of who you are as a Christian.
Amen. Well, just to give you a small background, a couple years ago, I had gone through. I grew up in the church, was in ministry and doing all kinds of things, and just kind of running real fast. I had gotten married at 23 years old, and
he's 28.
I'm 28 now, and through my marriage, 4 years into my marriage, I was in ministry and stuff like that. And to make a real long story short, my wife at the time basically decided that she didn't want to be married to somebody in ministry and wanted to get a divorce. And basically my whole world and what I thought just came really crumbling down. I had to deal with a lot of the effects of that and kind of go through that whole grieving process and then the anger and all kinds of things. But one of the biggest things that I had to really understand was the areas and the character defects and flaws that were in my life that God really wanted to deal with and really wanted to get at the root of. And now I'm actually engaged, getting remarried to a precious, precious woman of God. I have a daughter with my first wife, and really kind of going through the process of basically investing, making sure that, you know, I'm dealing with a lot of these different things and, you know, the whole new element of, you know, my daughter in the mix and stuff. And Joel and Carol are really just a gift and a body of, in the body of Christ. And to me, in a lot of the impartation and what they're teaching here, and also Pastor Joel, just kind of in what he's gone through in his life experience, really just expressing to me a lot of, can give me a lot of examples and personal experience. But one of the biggest things, you know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with any temperament, type A type personalities or whatever, but I'm a very, you know, strong type A, you know, caloric. I don't know if anybody knows what that means, but it's kind of, you know, take charge type of guy, you know, type of thing. Okay, D type, okay. Anyhow, and a lot of it is, you know, just kind of the self-will and how we react when somebody comes at us, you know, our initial reacting and how to, you know, how do we handle those different things. And I just had a circumstance today, and I was, you know, talking to my fiance, you know, we just got this house and different things like that, and, you know, getting things, you know, ready, and I wanted to get a swing set for my daughter. And basically, you know, I had sent her, like, you know, a text message, this is what I want to get, and so forth and so on. And she was just kind of like, we need to focus on, you know, the wedding right now, and, you know, financially, and you know, let's talk about that, let's wait on that, you know, financially and room wise and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, immediately I got this, like, you know, offense and anger, and, like, you know, this is my daughter, you know, and just kind of getting that whole deal. And, you know, and in the past, the, you know, what, you know, the reaction, what we would do is just kind of lash out at the person and kind of go off and, you know, this and that and the other thing. And as soon as I got that, the first thing I had to do was just go before the Lord and get in touch with what I was feeling. You know, what's going on here? You know, feeling sheets are right here. What was I feeling? I was annoyed. I was irritated. I had some resentment. I had some rage. You know, I felt sad, sorrowful. I was mournful. You know, I was apprehensive. I was anxious. I mean, all these kind of things just flew in my mind, you know. And, you know, we don't realize the amount of, you know, emotions and feelings that we have, that really, if we don't deal with the effects that are on the other person. And I was just sharing with John Serby, I don't know, John, a little bit, and this is a lot that I've kind of, conclusions I've come to, and just in going through what I've gone through with, you know, with the divorce and stepping into the marriage I'm going into now, is that, and I just say this to the men, is that, you know, you will set the tone in your household. Your wife could, you know, this is just something, a conclusion that I've gone, you know, that I've just come to, is no matter whether she's wrong or not, my response and how I set the tone in that household and in every circumstance or situation is always going to determine the outcome, whether she's right or wrong. And something that could be, she could be wrong in every aspect, in every situation, and you could be the rightest in your opinion and everything that your stance is, but how we implement it could be totally, you know, is going to determine the outcome and could be totally the wrong way and get, you know, this explosive result. And as I've gone through a lot of personal counseling and been going through about 5 months of marriage counseling and walking through a lot of this stuff, you know, God has really stripped me, broke me, and given me, and let me tell you something, we never arrive. It's always a continual process on another level, but given me just such an understanding of how to respond in love and how to, you know, in a sense, shut up, go before God, get in touch, do your writing, go through the process, and then be able to, you know, still share your feelings in that way. And the result is just amazing. It's just incredible what God could do. And I think it'll really help that intimacy in your relationship, your intimacy with God, and your character, and really just your overall, you know, spend life, you know, spiritually. You know, if one of these areas are messed up, they're all going to be out of whack. And that's a lot of, you know, something that they teach a lot. But So in this circumstance, basically, I just said, you know, I basically, you know, took my, you know, did my whole deal before the Lord and stuff. And then I said, listen, I understand where you're coming from. Because, oh, that's a big thing. Understanding where the other person is coming from. Really, I had to literally say, okay, here's what I'm feeling, this, that, and the other. And then put myself in that person's position and really identify. If I was her, and this is my first wedding, and, you know, I was just going into this house, and I was being, you know, having to come in as a stepmom and all of these kind of things, and just literally play myself in that role. You know, how would I feel, you know? And that gives, you know, that helps me identify and just coming on that level and really giving her a sense of validation and saying, you know what, I validate what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. And, yeah, well, you know, this is something we'll talk about. And that doesn't say that I take these emotions and everything and just say, okay, they're off the table. No, it's once I've processed them and once I've taken before the Lord and I get God's heart in it and I get, you know, and I'm able to communicate it in a way that is Christ-like and loving and sharing. It's like, you know, so when I get back and the time comes, we'll be able to, you know, talk it through. But that's, you know, that's kind of where we left it off, so.
But that's an awesome testimony. He was sharing this in the van with us when we were coming over tonight. So he was really put on the spot. But at the end of that, he said, you know what? I feel like I just ran an emotional marathon. We said to him, you did. Because the reaction, he responded, not reacted to her. And you know what? That leaves her to be able to listen, think about it, understand where he's coming from.
Joseph is an evangelist par excellence. He's the head administrator of our church. He literally runs 150 people. He has them all programmed, computerized. He is task-oriented. But a task-oriented person that doesn't have the passion for the people runs over their rights. And that cannot happen. Giftings does not negate responsibility for being a grown-up, mature, emotional person in a relationship. 5 minutes of questions. Anybody have any questions at all for anything? Anything. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that depends obviously on individual churches, but our prayer is that it would be, because people, whether it's our age, younger generation, parents, we have to change to be able to change the next generations. See, if we don't change and it's not taught in Sunday school or churches or from the pulpit, it keeps everybody locked into the old performance, the old, you know, just wear your smile. Yeah, and it'll just continue. And God doesn't want that. See, God is shaking today everything that can be shaken, which means he will expose these things in all of us.
Will you bring in this teaching to pastor? And,
we do. We do.
And
counselors or elders?
Denominations. Because if we don't bring it to the denomination, we'll never get to Sunday school.
Yeah, very good point.
We have DVDs and CDs that people, we do a weekly, we do this weekly at our church and for the region. We've been doing this for 13 years. of training and teaching people. And our church is the fruit of that Holy Spirit. And people who come from the region go back to their church and start telling their pastors and giving them CDs and DVDs of the grief series, the forgiveness, and all the things that we teach.
Mm-hmm. And some are open, and honestly, some are not. So, you know, some pastors will embrace it, and other pastors do this with it because of their own hurts and their own issues that are unresolved. And we recognize that. We realize that.
Anybody else? Just any question, anything? Yes.
Yeah.
This is great, and thank you for I'd like you to share a little bit about how do you begin to create a culture where people can interact like this as a normal part of life. I mean, I've been in some environments, and the people that are emotionally mature are honest and transparent, and everyone else, because they're so used to being fake, completely, I don't know, it's like they demote the people that are emotionally mature because they're honest and real. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, so it's like there are some places that aren't safe to even be emotionally mature, and there are some places that want it, but don't know how to get there. So, mm-hmm. Does that make sense? How do you navigate that, and how do you,
you know,
shift things?
Well, what we did was God laid this on our heart, and that's what began Tender-Hearted Ministries, which the Lord birthed in us after we were married. We were just married. And so what we did was like this. We did teaching to what was then a very, very small group of people. And we broke down then into small groups afterward. And as the people began to really know each other, they knew it was a safe place. It was a place of confidentiality. You weren't going to share things that you heard. So safety began to grow. Trust began to grow. And people really did start to open up and share with one another. So what our experience has been is it really didn't come from the top leaders down. It came from the grassroots up. It came from the people. It just really came from the people who became desirous of, I want this, I need this, I want to be whole, I want to be healed. And so, you know, pastors that really have that heart would really hear that, you know, hear that call and really respond to it appropriately. So I think small groups is a way to go with that.
One more question? Anything?
Anybody else?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for joining us this night.
Yeah, we bless you. We hope we'll see you tomorrow.
I would suggest you bring a three-ring binder because we're going to have other handouts.
Or just a folder, you know, anything, so you'll have your papers.
Let me share something. It's important that we give out this material because you're only going to hear a little bit of what we're saying. But when you take this material home, you'll have something to reference to later.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So God bless you. Hopefully we'll see you tomorrow night.
Amen.